Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm going to not preach on Father's Day, but it'll fit in, okay? So this may not be the traditional Father's Day message, but I want to continue our series on the power of a transformed mind. I've been around church a long time, and I could quote Abraham Lincoln and on fathers and all that stuff, but I'll kind of tie it in as I go. But I want to continue this message on the power of a transformed mind, called Imagine That, and give you some illustration this morning on how this process takes place. And so I got to grab my, hopefully I won't, I got to grab my illustration here. Just to, you know, I made this, I go through Hobby Lobby and I get sermon ideas, illustration ideas. I really do. So I made this, I'm going to steal this chair since nobody's sitting here. And yeah, I have to sometimes. Because actually, you don't know this about me, but I really like art. I do. I took like all art classes. Maybe some of you know it about me. But I took all art classes, all the art classes that were available in high school. And this is not a gangster demonstration. This is a spiritual demonstration. If it was gangster, it'd be like that. Maybe that's not totally true anymore. But anyway, I like to draw. I'm very visual in my mind. Like, I'll draw and stuff like that. I actually won second place in an art show at West High School and got my drawing put in the calendar for West High. So I have some abilities on that side, but what I'm saying is that when I am studying, when I'm reading, when I'm looking at the Scripture, images are going through my mind. Pictures are being framed in my mind. I don't know how you see it, but like we've talked about before, if I say to you apple, you don't see the word apple in your mind. You either picture a red apple, a green apple, you either see an apple hanging from a tree. You don't see words, you see images. Words produce images. And so however, and we looked at this, but however you see yourself is what you produce in your life. Does that make sense? I made this and I set this up, and so every night since I've had it set up like this, I've set it by the front door, the side window, and it's just been so, if anybody walked by my house at night, they probably were freaked out by the short guy looking out the window. See, that's how my mind works too. So anyway, let's look at Proverbs. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures, and I'm not going to comment on these. At least I'm going to try not to. It's interesting. No, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. It's interesting when you're a preacher and you have a gift in you, it just comes out. You know, I could read a scripture and just go. So it's kind of interesting, but that's all right. That's what it's there for, so it's always available. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, this is one of the main scriptures we looked at the beginning. And it has to do with spirit, soul, body. But it says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what we have here in the scripture is we have a breakdown of how you are made. Okay? You are a spirit. That's who you are. You possess a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live inside of what Paul called a tent, but you live inside of a body, which is the physical part of you. That's why I was saying earlier, when I leave my body, take my body and just throw it in a hole somewhere, it doesn't really matter what happens to it because it's already been paid for. So when Jesus comes back, it'll be resurrected. It'll be like his body is right now, okay? Which is going to be a great day because there'll be no more pain. At all. You won't experience an ache or a discomfort or any of that stuff. Bonner, we'll be able to play Ultimate Frisbee for eternity and not feel a hurt. It's going to be great. I'm pretty sure Ultimate Frisbee's in heaven. So, What happened was, when you were born again, the scripture says in Isaiah, talking about Jesus going to a certain city when he walked on the earth, it says that those who sat in darkness saw a great light. Now, every person, this gives you a spiritual picture of what's going on inside the spirit world. Every person that is not born again is sitting in darkness. The scripture talks about removing the blinders of the enemy. So prior to being born again, this is how everybody is living their life. Have you ever looked at, well, not only our culture, but been around somebody, whether it be a relative or somebody who doesn't know the Lord or coworker, and you think to yourself, why are they living like that? Why do they, like the person, I've seen this happen quite a bit, especially when I lived in Tulsa, but when I was working around different people in the food industry and serving tables and stuff like that, you'd have these girls. There was this one particular lady that I worked with. She constantly picked an abusive boyfriend. She would get out of a relationship and go right back into another abusing relationship. Why? This. She has no clue what she's doing. And you... A person from the outside will look at that person's life and they'll go, it's simple. Yeah, it's just like, don't go to the bar to pick your boyfriend. Hello. Go, pick something, you understand what I'm saying? But she wouldn't. She would constantly do that. It was just constant process. Why? Because she's sitting in darkness. So what happens is, when we're born again, the blinders come off. And what takes place is, you are born again in your spirit. Your spirit changes. You become brand new. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. I know I've showed you this before, but remember, it's Faith Family Church, Life in Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5. Verse number 17. If I can get there. There we go. Verse number 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Okay, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, going back, all things, verse 18, that first verse. Now all things are of who? God. Are you in Christ? The answer is yes, if you're born again. That means all things that are in you are of God. You know what we do as natural, born into this earth people? We look in the mirror, we look at our life circumstances, we look at the way we're raised, we look at what's going on around us, we look at the fact that our skin is no longer baby soft. Come on, you ever held a baby when they're just, and you feel their skin and it's like, whoa. And then you feel the back of your arm and it's like sandpaper. Why? Because, again, the leading cause of death is birth. But you look at your physical body and you go, all things are of God? Look at me. I got more gray hair this year than I did last year. God doesn't have gray hair. God doesn't have any form of death working in him. So there's got to be an answer to this solution. And you think all things are of God, but these thoughts that I have are the same thoughts that I had before I was saved. I still think the way I used to think. Why is that? Why do I still react and do the things that I used to do if all things are of God? So this is why we need to understand 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because all things are of God where? In your spirit. That is the only place where everything is perfect. Yeah. In your spirit. Your mind can still be messed up. Your body can still be messed up. Why? Because they haven't been redeemed yet. That'd be great if it all happened at once. But we don't function in fantasy, we function in the reality of what God said. Now, they all eventually will be, you know, there'll be a day when the Lord returns that your soul will never be challenged by an evil thought. And your body will never have a desire to do something opposite of the Word of God. That's called eternity. But until then, you need to do everything you can to get an understanding about where you're at and how God taught you to function here and now. Amen. That's a good thought. That's how you need to battle. Okay? So what we're looking at here, as far as what took place, is your spirit's brand new. So we're dealing in this message with this part. Let me give you another example. Yesterday I was getting tires put on my truck. And so I'm sitting in Staley's Tire. And I had my tablet, so I was reading over the message for today. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to these two ladies that are sitting across from me. And they've got foul mouths, okay? And they're unashamed about it. I've never heard women really talk like that, you know what I mean? But they had one of the ladies' sons was there, and he was probably maybe two, maybe one and, you know, 3 months or something. He was real little. He couldn't talk, but he could walk, okay? So he was at that stage. And so I'm listening to these ladies because I can't help it, because it's not like they're trying to be quiet. You know what I mean? They just have dominated the atmosphere at this point. So I'm reading over some of my things with the message, and I'm listening to them to use colorful language back and forth and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, at least, you know, tone it back a little bit, you know. But I didn't say anything. I didn't give him a look or anything. I just kept reading what I was doing. And then pretty soon the auntie to the little boy goes and gets an ice cream sandwich. Because you get those free at Staley's if you go. And popcorn if you want any. But anyway, this little Huckleberry ice cream sandwich, okay? And she breaks it in half and gives it to the little boy, and he's eating on it. And then a few, just like 30 seconds after that, the aunt looks and goes, oh, she says, Lord, bless the food to our bodies. Let it be nourishment and strength and health to us. I mean, she gives this prayer, and I mean, it was golden. In the name of Jesus, boom. I mean, just out loud. So we went from this to this, and right then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because I was reading about the scripture about the mind. He said, Sean, they are saved, but their mind is not renewed. See, what our goal is not to just carry God, it's to express Him. Does that make sense? See, this works in all areas, but our goal as dads, I'm telling you, I'm going to get Father's Day in here. Okay, is not just to carry God's fatherhood, but to express it. And guess what? That can be very contrary to the way you were raised, to the way your dad taught you how to be a man. If your dad taught you how to be a man by watching John Wayne movies, I saw John Wayne teach a kid how to swim. It's not the right way. Even though sometimes I feel like that. How many have seen that video? Yeah. He goes, John Wayne says to this little boy, just go swim across the creek, and there's a fishing hole right over there because he wanted to fish and catch fish. And swim across, and he goes, I can't swim. And John Wayne looked at him like, what? Picks him up and throws him right into the water. You'll learn how to swim. Okay, God doesn't do that. All right. So that's not the proper way. There is an element of toughness that needs to be taught to men, but you understand what I'm saying. You don't want to kill him in the process. Right? But you may have a mind that is not renewed to who you are in Christ. And that's what this message is about. You're going to begin to see things differently. The Lord said this to me years ago when I was studying this subject. He said, Sean, an unrenewed mind and an out of control body will lock up the resurrection of Christ within you. It'll lock it up. It'll hold it in to where, even though you have the same power in you that raised Christ from the dead, it's not affecting any area of your life because your mind thinks carnally, naturally. It's conformed to this world. Does that make sense? I know I'm saying a lot, but you can listen to it again online. This truth will, if you grab hold of this thought and this idea and you allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to really transform the way you think, it will change your life. God will no longer, you won't see God as a part of your, you won't just see, I'm meeting God at church on Sunday. You'll realize God went with you to the job site. Does that make sense? He drives the truck with you. He pulls the trailer with you. He, you know, in my business, he carries the paint buckets. I wish he'd carry a little bit more. But what my point is he's there. Do you know, because everywhere I go, I minister to people. Everywhere. Because I'm a pastor, I'm a minister, I pastor where I'm at. I'm pastoring a guy that just started with us recently. How does it happen? It's just who I am. It just happens. Now, I'm vocal about what I believe. Not obnoxious, but not afraid either. I used to be obnoxious, but I quit doing that because it didn't work out so well. At least I'm mostly not obnoxious. Maybe you should. I'm trying to be less obnoxious. Anyway, it's a part of me. I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean I go to church. It means I am a child of God. Now, going to church is a part of that. You understand that? Because the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. But you understand this. If your mind is still focused on how the world thinks and operates, then you're going to be a Christian, but like those ladies, you're going to sound and look just like the world. Don't look at that thought and that idea from the standpoint of God's mad at me. No, He's not. Look at it from the standpoint of a good parent. This is going to help your life that much more. Do you know when you make a mistake, God is not waiting to pummel you? Do you know why God's against sin? Not because it just puts Him in a rage and He's got to just beat you up over it. He already put all the sin of the world on Jesus. So that, and people go, well, then what's the big deal? You know, Paul said, so you're saying we can sin all we want because there's grace now. No, the issue is sin gives Satan access to your mind and your body. It's not that God's in heaven going, give me the bigger bat. Give me the bigger spoon. You know what I mean? I'm going to crush them. And people read the Old Testament, which we're reading right now, and they'll look at it and they'll go, man, God was harsh. They were not born again. Jesus had not come yet. The grace was pictured there, but it hadn't manifested yet. Does that make sense? Because it was a different covenant. You can't look at that and go, yeah, that's how we live today, you know? You know, like people say, God's wrath is going to come on America like Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't live under that covenant. God's wrath came on Jesus. And until the age of grace is up, there's not going to be much God's wrath. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, there will be consequence because the wages of sin is, and you reap what you. So the consequences are built in. But let me just help you with something. If God's wrath came to America, you'd know it. There wouldn't be anything left. God doesn't come in and, like, you know, knock over one altar, one, you know, false god. If God comes in and cleans the place out, boy howdy, He cleans it out. He gets it done. Okay? But what He did is He put the wrath of God, He put His wrath on Jesus. And Jesus paid the price for all the sin of the world. All of it. Past, present, future, all of it. Now, there will be a day when God's wrath comes because Paul talks about it. And he said, we need to warn people out of that too. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Does that make sense? But right now, there's a period where people are all getting an opportunity to see God for who He is through Christ. Okay? You realize that when this is all said and done, nobody, I've heard people say this, and I know they're blind, I know they're ignorant, so I give them grace. But nobody is being rejected by God. Everybody that feels that way is rejecting God. Nobody's going to stand before God and go, you rejected me, you did this to me. They're going to see in perfect light. There'll be no hindrance, and they will look and go, it was me. Every near death that I've experienced that I've listened to, where the people have come back, and there are like millions of them. I mean, medically studied out, okay? The people that had a heaven and hell experience. This one guy I was listening to specifically, he's a preacher now. Of course, you have that experience, you'll do something. You'll make a decision quick. But he knew he stood before Christ before he went to hell. And when he stood before the Lord, he said, I knew I was wrong, and I knew I deserved to go to hell. There was no question. Nobody will be able to stand in God's presence and be able to deceive themselves or him. Well, of course, not him. Nobody will be. It'll never happen. You're talking about God. You think Satan's standing there? No. No, no. It's too hot. He can't get that close. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody's going to be there to deceive, to bring another thought. And so it'll be as clear as day. Well, in your spirit, you have that clarity. You know, have you ever read the scripture, you have the mind of Christ? Do you know that's not here? That's in your spirit. And it has to get here. And you see it by looking in the mirror here. Boy, I just preached a whole message right there. This shows you what's in your heart. You see, it shows your mind the image of the resurrection within you. And as your mind, which is your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, see more and more of this, then it's easier to act out this way. Make sense? Paul said what? Put on the new man. That began at salvation is continued with information, illumination, revelation, renewing of the mind, and then is expressed through the crucifixion of the flesh. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? That's how it happens. Let's go to Romans. I could go to others, but you'll just have to go back and listen to the other messages online. Romans chapter 12. I love God. He is good stuff, amen? My satisfaction, my joy comes from Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, turn the page, at least for me, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And look at this, verse number 2. This is where we left off last. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me read this to you in the Kenneth Wiest translation. And I'm just going to read verse number 2, but listen to this carefully. Everything that I just said prior to this is said right here. So listen to this closely. This is the Kenneth Wiest translation. It says this, and stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. Now listen to this. But change your outward expression to the one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind. Change your outward expression to one that comes from the inner being by the what? Renewal of the mind. In other words, do not be conformed, be transformed. Does that make sense? You begin to, let's go to transformed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. It's going to get gooder. Hang on. This word transformed also is translated transfigured. Okay? Matthew chapter 17, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves." Verse 2, "And he was transfigured before them." Transfigured, okay? Does anybody know what transfigured or transform means? The word trans, now it is metamorphosis, but think about it like this. The word trans, now there's a lot of trans these days in the news. Have you noticed? Okay? It's just true, okay? But the word trans is, the meaning is movement or conveyance from one place, from place to place. It also means a complete change. That's what the word, the first part of that word transform means. Trans means a complete change. It means from moving from one place to another. So when the Lord says to you, "Be not conformed to this world, be transformed," He's saying, move your mind from an outward, worldly, carnal understanding to an inward resurrection of Christ understanding. Now, there is a world of thought right here. But let me just say this. This tells me that you are in control of your mind. You know, the world will tell you, you can't help it, you can't help it. You need to reject that lie in the name of Jesus. You can pick any thought you want and you can focus on it. Because your mind is your mind. Man, I had to do this. Thank God for Brother Hagin. Because I had never heard this before anywhere else. I had to do this when I first got saved. I had to pick Scripture. I mean, I would take my Bible to work. I would take my Bible to everywhere. Everywhere I took my Bible. I'd get the little Gideon Bibles because they fit in your pocket. And I'd wear them out and wear them out. And I'd just read. Because I needed my mind to go from party mode, world mode, flesh mode, devil mode, everything that was contrary to God mode to, hey, I'm a new creation in Christ. All old things have passed away. All things had become new. I needed my mind to go from sickness mode to healing mode. I needed my mind to go from broke mode to prosperity mode. Do you understand what I'm saying? I needed my mind to go from, how am I ever going to get through this, to I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I needed my mind to go from, I need people's approval, I need it, to I'm secure in the love of God for me. Does that make sense? And that's the process. This is the struggle that takes place in every Christian's life. Only most churches don't teach it. They don't even know about it. Most people don't even know the separation of the soul and the spirit. They just think you're all big one big mess inside there. And that's how their world is. That's how their life is. There are people that are genuinely born again. When we get to heaven, they're going to be there. But they have no understanding of the renewal of the mind, and so that expression of God doesn't come out here. And so God just doesn't get a lot of expression through them. Does that make sense? So we see that right here. It's that transformed. It's changed into another form. The form, the word form, as far as the transform, the word form means very simply frame. It has to do with ideas, opinions. It has to do with the mind. Remember, I had the two sets of plans. One was an airport parking garage. The other was an airport terminal. They're not actually airport parking garage and terminals in paper form. What are they? They're images. They're words. Those words then go into an architect's or builder's mind. That builder then takes the measurements, takes all the stuff that is necessary, figures out what they'll need for supplies, and they begin to follow that set plan that is given to them and the architectural plans. They begin to see the image of what's supposed to be where and how it's supposed to be built and where the foundation's supposed to be and how deep are we supposed to dig and how tall are these walls supposed to be and where's the what's the color of the paint that's going to be in this room? Where's the tile go? But it's not actually anything until the form is in the mind. Once it's in the mind, then the hands go to work. This is the diagram of what you look like in Christ. And as you look, you see in your mind, oh, I don't have to chew out my neighbor. I wish my neighbors knew that. Some of my neighbors. I don't have to defend myself. I can be patient. You know, some people are going to get to heaven and God's going to go, see what patience was in you? And you're going to go, it was your patience. And he said, yeah, if you'd have renewed your mind, you would have saved yourself from hypertension. I'm right. You see that? All right, last point. Can you handle one more? Well, let's go to this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 first, because I want to show you this one first. Man, remember that thought. Remember that verse that I just read to you. You go there, but remember this thought. Change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind. Oh, that's so good. When I found that, I did the happy dance. Have you seen that commercial for the jewelry company or whatever it is here in town? That guy does the happy dance. I did the happy dance when I saw that translation. I thought, man, that is so good. That puts it exactly, that's how you could sometimes think about it, but you don't know how to express it. That's exactly what the Lord has done. You have inside of you right now the very Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Christ from the dead. How much struggle does Christ have right now? None. People say, well, why doesn't it, how come it hasn't shown up in my life? Renewal of the mind. Yesterday, I changed the pump for my irrigation system, my sprinkler system. And I had to cut PVC and glue PVC and put 90-degree elbows in and put connectors together. And I'm doing all this stuff. But how many of you know this? If I don't connect at the intake on the pump, if the out doesn't connect to the rest of the line, I'm just going to spray water all over the yard right in front of the pump. Right? See, that's where a lot of Christians are. You got the intake because you're born again. But you haven't connected the soul to the Spirit. And so you're spraying water everywhere. There's no focus. There's no zones. You're just spraying water everywhere. But in the Spirit, it's just like, for those of you, it's a sprinkler analogy. For those of you that understand underground sprinkler systems, I have 6 different zones. I do not turn them all off on at once. They each have a timer on each one. And they release at the right time. Zone 1, zone 2, zone 3. All the way down to drip line. Why? Because I don't want to water bushes. I want the thing to water the bushes. It's easier that way. So the principle applies the same to the renewal of your mind. You have all this power inside of you. And until you get your soul renewed, it won't contain and navigate the power that is in you to the right areas at the right time. Come on. Amen? And I'm not going to get to my next point, but I'm going to start it. I'm glad I did the illustration. I can save it for later. Well, I'll get them now. Then you get a precursor. I get excited about my illustrations. Mostly I just want to stick the long toothpicks in the guy's head. I can't sit them there. You know, after dinner sometime, you should set toothpicks out like that. See what people do. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is what I said, right? Let's look at this. Is there a 2 Corinthians 3:18? Okay, good. I didn't find it there for a minute. All right. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a what? Mirror. What is the Word of God? It's a mirror. The Bible says it's a mirror. The glory of the Lord are being what? Into the what? Same image of what? As what? The same image of what? The glory of the Lord. Which is Jesus. You're right. You're saying it right. You are being transformed, moving from one place to another in your mind, in your spirit. You're already there. You're already just like the scripture says in 1 John, as He is, so are we when we get to heaven. When? In this world. Hello! And you're looking, and this is what Paul's saying, you're looking into the mirror, into the Word of God, and your mind is being moved to see yourself as Jesus created you to be. Come on. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, they had their mind moved away from who God had created them to be. And Jesus came along and said, no, let's move them back. And all you need to do is get your noodle in line with your spirit. Right? And that'll change everything. Okay. Last point this morning. Where do thoughts come from? Where do thoughts... All the thoughts that come to you are not all from you. Okay? Where do thoughts come from? Let's go to... I'm going to skip ahead and I'm going to go over this one again. Let's go to... get out of this one. Let's go to Matthew 16. And I'm going to show you. This is one of the better examples of this, and we're going to hit this actual point in 2 weeks or 3 weeks when I preach again. Matthew 16, verse number 13. Where do thoughts come from? Now, I'm going to hit some other points, but I feel like this is pertinent for where we're at. So this will help you right where you're at. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Isn't that interesting? You're not who you are. You're not who you say you are. You're one of these old dead dudes. Okay? It's just interesting. There's a whole study here you could do on who do you say Jesus is to you. It's if you take that thought, it's a good thought too. I'm going to go a different direction, but that's a good thought as well. Because you don't need to say who Jesus is according to the world. You need to say who Jesus is according to God. Amen? So anyway, he says this. He says, verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Because that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It matters that who you say Jesus is. See, He's my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. Okay, so Simon... Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Where did that thought come from? Next verse. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood," what? "Has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Where did Peter's thought come from? Came from God. Came by the Holy Spirit, correct? Okay? Verse 18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And let me just kill something here. Peter is not the one, the rock that Jesus... Okay, God didn't build the church on Peter. All right? that's a doctrine out there, but he's not talking about that. He's saying, I'm building the church on the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he's saying, okay? Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven in the name of Jesus, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven in the name of Jesus. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter, you got to love Peter. Thank God for Peter. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Did Peter not just get the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God? Peter is rebuking the Son of God. Come on now. You got to love Peter. Peter was full of zeal. He was growing in knowledge. Okay? But he says this. He says, he begins to rebuke him saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, what? Said to who? Nope. Said to who? Peter, get behind me. You are an offense to me, for you are not, what? Mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Peter just heard from God and then yielded to Satan. How many of you have ever done that before? Hello. I got two hands for that one. Sources of thoughts right there. Now, eventually, I'm going to get into this. We'll do this one. These don't really go together. But behind your mind, that the part, the world that you don't see, there are two sources of influences. There's only two. Now, they'll come through different avenues, but there's only two sources. Just like with my irrigation system in my yard, the source is one place. It comes from the head gate at the ditch. It gravity feeds to my yard. Then it moves through different zones. What do we see happened here with Jesus and Peter? Peter heard from the Holy Ghost and spoke to Jesus, and Jesus said, that's God. And then Peter heard from Satan and spoke, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now we're going to look at this in this next message on how to discern between the two thoughts. And then you're going to do what Jesus did in your life. You're going to go, hallelujah, that's from the Father. He said kindness, so I'm going to let that one stay. Come on. And then somebody else is going to bring a thought to you, and you're going to go, oh, it's going to come at you and try and stick, and you're going to go, no, get behind me, Satan. That's not me. That's not who I am. Come on, do you see this? This is huge. This works wherever there's a promise in the Scripture to you. And Jesus gave us, and we're going to look more examples of how Jesus, he did this all the time. He'd look at, he went into Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and he said, he spoke to the fever. Why? You know what Jesus felt when he went into that environment? The same thing you do when you see somebody sick. Do you know what the thought? What are the thoughts that go through your mind when there's something contagious going around? You're going to get it. Boogity. Boogity. Do you know you can have your mind so renewed you don't feel the boogity anymore? You know, the boogie monster is not just for children under their bed. It's still for adults. Right? It's there. So what do you need to do? You need to turn around and you need to speak. You notice Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was identifying to himself and to Peter. Peter, you're yielding to a satanic thought. Kick it out. I'm going to kick it out. Don't yield to it. How many have had thoughts come to you? Come on, everybody's got a hot button issue in their life. And I'm sure I'll hit it before we get through by the Holy Spirit. What promise did the Lord say that you need to keep in front of your eyes and then keep that sword of the Spirit and shield of faith moving around you? Come on. To where something, a fiery dart comes against you and you need to, get behind me, Satan. Well, your mom had this and she shook. No. I don't have a generation that's tied to my personal family anymore. It's tied to Jesus. It's so tied to Jesus that if all my family members reject Christ, they lose me too. Come on. No, you say you wouldn't pray for him. Yeah, I'd pray for him. But I'm not going to follow. Yeah, but this is what the family does. I don't care what you do. You're not God. You know that'll make you hated? It's worth it. It is so worth it. Stand with me. It is so worth it. It's Father's Day. I'm hanging with the Father. Amen. I love this. We're to be full of joy. You know, this morning, Bonner had shared with me, they put their house on the market, and they got, how many offers did you get? Four, and you've had it on the market how long? 2 days. And they're kind of in a bidding war with the house. What's that? Yeah, Lindsay's fault. Lindsay had prayed for them or something and got a word from the Lord about it. And I think about that, and I was thinking about the giving message this morning, that the word give cheerfully is hilarious. And then I heard that they got an offer on their house, and so I ran out and tackled Bonner. I jumped out. He's hard to tackle, so he just held me up. And I jumped on him, and I was like, glory to God! Why? It's breakthrough! Come on, people have had houses on the market for years, and they can't figure out why they can't get rid of it, and this and that and the other. And they're not in line with God. But you know what's happening, right, Bonner? This is a word from the Lord for you. Your mind is getting in line with your heart. And God's going, yep, this is right, this is right, this is right. And the path of the righteous is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So as your mind gets in line, your life just keeps going and keeps going. And people look at you and go, you can't be happy. There's a recession. And you go, nope, my God shall supply. Now, let me say this. Let me qualify this. Don't look at him and go, get behind me, Satan. Maybe you should save that for something else, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? You, we're free in him. We just need to line up the flow, amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us. We are so thankful that we're blessed. We are so blessed. We're so grateful for everything that you provided for us, Lord. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 1:3. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6. Lord, our hope, our life, our expectation rests in nothing else but Jesus. Jesus' blood and righteousness. Lord, we thank you that by your Spirit, Lord, you're opening the eyes of our understanding. You're helping our minds be moved by the Word of God from one place to another. From a place of natural thinking, carnal thinking, to a place of spiritual thinking in line with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you in advance for testimonies that are going to continue to come in from your Word. From your messages, from your promises. We expect to have a transformed mind, and we purpose to control our mind. We have authority over our minds. Just say this with me. Say, I have authority over my mind. I think on, I meditate on, what I choose. And I choose the Word of God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Father's Day. And take a donut and coffee with you, please. Because I'm not taking them home.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.